Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Okay, this show marks another first for my podcast. My mom is here in the studio along with my stepdad. And we've got some great sex in the news stories for you. She's going to help me tackle some of your top questions on sex, love, and relationships. So thanks for listening. Okay, something you might not know about me. Not only do I love toys in the bedroom, that you know, but I also care a lot about bedding. There's nothing like really good sheets. It just makes a difference. And the funny thing is, if you've never had fine quality sheets or felt them, you probably think, oh, these sheets are fine. But when you do, you can never go back. And think about it. You spend more time on your bed sheets than anything else you own. So when I got hit up by Boll & Branch, who are known for their fine linens made from organic cotton, I said, sure thing, send along. I'll be the judge of that. So they came in the mail, they're beautifully packaged, and I tried them out. And I'd never owned organic cotton sheets. Organic fruit, yes, but not sheets. I'd always thought it was about thread count. But here's the thing. It turns out all that stuff about thread count and Egyptian cotton is BS. So when you buy sheets with a super high thread count, you think, oh, I'm getting the best. But what you're really buying is a marketing scam. Thread counts have nothing to do with quality. And don't get me started on so-called Egyptian cotton. Apparently, that's just the name of a plant grown in Pakistan. Who knew? So Boll & Branch sheets are different. First of all, you can only get them at bollandbranch.com, so you know you're paying for quality sheets and not for overhead. And literally, they're the softest, most comfortable sheets I've ever felt, and they get softer every time you wash them. And three U.S. presidents have slept on Boll & Branch sheets. These are people who can afford to sleep on any brand of sheets in the world. And a message for the guys, there's nothing like bad sheets that really turns off a woman. We notice. So now you can have the same sheets as a president. But don't worry, they're priced so reasonably. They cut out all the middlemen, department store markups, all that stuff, so you can get amazingly luxurious sheets for a couple $100. Boll & Branch is so confident you'll love their sheets, they'll let you try them risk-free for 30 nights. So if you order now, they'll give you $50 off a set of sheets plus free shipping. Just go to bollandbranch.com, use promo code Emily, and you get $50 off. That's B-O-L-L and branch.com, and use the promo code Emily. You get $50 off. You can try them for 30 days. It's a great deal. Check it out. You'll love them. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. We can check out all the great stuff happening. We update every day. New blogs, new posts, new videos. It's a great place to hang out. And sign up for our mailing list because we give really good email. That's what I hear. Hi, Anderson.
Hey, Ems.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited.
We got a full house here tonight.
Yeah.
Not just Stanley.
No.
On my lap, little puppy Stanley.
Who is a boy or a girl?
Boy. Mm-hmm. I'm dog sitting for 2 weeks, and I thank you very much for
Emily's
allowing me
watching
to
my dog for two. My precious, he's the closest thing I have to a child.
Oh, and I love him. He's in my lap.
And just last week, I was making fun of you for even suggesting that you watch him because I thought
did.
It was crazy.
Yeah. I know. Okay. Well, we have some people in the studio, very special
who
guests
who are going to be able to weigh in on that. I think.
Yes,
I'm very
exactly.
excited about
my
tonight's
mom.
Show.
I know, me too. It's my mom, Susan, and my stepdad, Ed. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
I'm so glad you're here. What do you want? Okay, you know that I had a dog.
Yes.
And I was a good dog owner.
You were. You were very devoted to your dog.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Until it got to be
That's
hard.
Like saying I was a mother once. I was a very good mom.
It's a long story. I don't want to get into it, but just know that I'm like obsessed with the,
now,
he will be with me all the time.
Enough with the dog.
Okay.
Should I be feeling uncomfortable that you're about to start talking about sexual things?
We're not going to get to
the mom and the
I got to tell you something. She's my mom. Why do you think I am the way I am?
That read about those amazing sheets that you just did. You were talking about how you love the toys in the bedroom, and I cringed because your mom is right there.
We haven't really talked about sex toys much, Mom, have we? I always want to give you some if you want any.
Oh, you gave me some once, and they're sitting in the drawer under a bunch. They're
did you
hidden.
Use it? It's okay.
No.
Okay, well, Mom, hidden. Let me tell you, this is something that came up today that I actually wanted to ask you this question.
Okay.
So I've never asked you this, and it's always been in my mind. She's rolling her eyes. So when I was like, remember Dad, he used to have this thing where my parents were divorced, so this isn't like uncomfortable with my stepdad here, so don't worry about it.
Ed looks very angry right now.
No. but mom, dad, when he was a lawyer, he used to have this thing where he'd send out gifts to all of his clients. It was like from Macy's, and it was like, here you can spend, you know, here's a catalog, pick out whatever you want.
Right.
And you know, there's like knife sets and, you know, sheets or whatever, not like Boll & Branch sheets, but I picked a body massager, like a body wand. Okay. Uh-oh. I didn't know it was like 13. It was like the magic wand. I didn't know it was a vibrator. I just thought it said a body massager. And I ordered it. Like I never used it for that. But I realized like a few months later it was missing from my room and I never saw it again.
Whoa.
I did not take it. But I would admit it.
Because it's okay if you did, because it's a really nice, like, toy, but I remember like, oh, whatever happened. But I really thought it was a massager, because you know I'm talking about the magic wand. It's a big, if you've heard of it, it's amazing.
What the fuck, Emily?
Mom,
I had no idea where you're going.
Who took it? I was like 13.
No,
it's okay if you did.
Ask your brother.
Oh, you think Michael took it? Should we call him? Anyway, you just reminded me of that when you said sex toys. Okay. Are you calling my brother? Let's call Michael.
No, you can't. It's 3 hours.
That's true.
It's midnight there. Okay. So anyway, one more thing I got to say. Thanks for that, Mom. Another thing is, on October 21st, we are now taking calls in the studio from 1:30 to 2:30 Pacific Standard Time into our podcast for a half hour. Anderson won't be there. I'm sorry. No. But we tried on a recent podcast. It went really well. So on that date, October 21st, we are going to post the call-in number the day of. So either follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Sex with Emily, @SexWithEmily, or go to my website. So you can call in, because it was super fun.
Sweet.
Another thing.
Love hearing about how much fun you have without me. It's
no,
great.
No, it's not. It's just different. It's different. It sounds much fun. Other thing. Hey, Mom, Ed, do you guys know what a Sibian is?
No.
Okay.
Do you?
It's a good talk.
What about a fleshlight? Do you know what a fleshlight is?
You know what this is like? I'm learning new things tonight. Mm-hmm.
Okay, remember, so we're from Michigan.
There's fleshlight. I'm sure there's a lot of fleshlights in Michigan.
Okay, so Sibian is, I'm going to get into it later a little bit more about what a Sibian is, but it's a big toy, and I'm going to get into it later, but it's a big toy that you sit on like a saddle and you mimic like the cowgirl position. It's a very powerful product. And I'm going to get into it more. But the point is, you have 1 week left to enter the first phase of our Sibian giveaway contest. And I recently brought home my first Sibian. You're coming to my house tomorrow. I'll show you. And I'm loving it. But it needs a name. So email me a name suggestion. feedback@sexwithemily.com. That's tier one. First week in November, we'll pick out our 10 favorite suggestions. Those people will move on to our next tier, and it's a whole thing. It's going to be an amazing few months. So go to sexwithemily.com, get the details on our website. We have a blog. It's called The Gift That Keeps on Giving, and that'll be about our giveaway. Okay, enough of that BS. Let's get into some good stuff here. How about that, Anderson? Do you have any questions for... I might just skip the sex. I don't know. I got one good story, but like...
Yeah, I don't. I love sex in the news, but with your parents here, I don't know if it'd be a well placed time. You know what I mean?
What, to ask them questions or?
I would rather talk to your stepdad and your mother, I think, than sex in the news.
I hear you. I hear you. Okay, so
well, what is the sex in the news? Now I'm curious.
Well, okay. Well, there is something interesting that you guys. This is not to say. So Playboy. Did you hear about Playboy?
No more news.
Playboy is stopped. They're not publishing nude photos anymore. Did you read about this?
I did.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's really interesting. It's a sign of the times, because they said, I read an article about it, and they said that there's so much nudity that they weren't special anymore.
Exactly. I mean, would you ever think that they would stop? They will no longer publish images of fully nude women in its magazine beginning this spring.
I think it's absurd.
Why?
I don't care. I don't read Playboy, but that'd be like... the Greeks saying, hey, we're not going to practice sports anymore because everyone else is doing it. You know what I mean? Like,
I know,
they invented the Olympics.
Keep...
It's like they should continue to do what they're known
for. But what
for.
The
they
thing
started
is, there's, you can get everything online. There's nothing left to the imagination anymore.
You think
so they're
sell
going
more
back to the
when
basics.
They have less, though?
Maybe, because they'll be more artistic, maybe more erotic.
You know what it
less
is?
Less is more. What?
It's Hef. He feels very guilty because of his relationship with Cosby. And he's trying to purge himself now.
No, you think that's
that?
No.
Okay.
He's not
going to
get out of limb.
So the thing is that that's a good one, though. I like that. It was a nice stretch there.
You think people start reading the articles?
Well, they always did read the articles. That's the thing. People always said, that was always the joke, right?
Mm-hmm.
I get it for the articles. Mm-hmm. Just like, did you get it for the articles? Yeah, you don't have to answer.
I read that somebody, some comedian or somebody said that he's going to start reading Playboy in the nude so the articles don't feel lonely. Somebody said that.
That is a great joke. They say they'll no longer publish it, fully nude women, beginning this spring, and it comes as part of a redesign. They'll be unveiled. They said the magazine will still feature women in provocative poses. It's not just going to be like, you know, clothes and dogs and stuff.
Dogs?
I don't know. I'm sitting
with Stanley.
Stanley
out of this.
But they will no longer bear all when the March issue is released, and they say the onslaught of internet pornography has made the nude images in Playboy passe. Mm-hmm. So the battle's been fought and won. You're now one click away from every sex imaginable.
I'm angry for the 12-year-old girl whose dream it is to be in Playboy one day nude.
Oh, God. And she could just be a webcam dead. Girl now. Mm-hmm. I know. I actually thought maybe I'd be in Playboy.
Is this when you had the wand or right after you lost it?
But actually, I never used the wand because we're going to get into some stuff about
that. I'm sort of glad you skipped that.
What? The wand?
Posing in Playboy.
Yeah, I did. Don't worry. I've been.
She posed in Wii instead. Oui. You know that French.
Oui. I figured it was in France. Everyone's nude there.
I wouldn't know about it. That would be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I try to keep things. Another thing that I was talking about is the Walmart, Alabama Walmart mistakenly stocks gun counter with gun oil lube. Have you heard of gun oil?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a really good lube.
Right.
I know you guys like lube. So lube, and so it's called gun oil. And it's one of my, it's actually a really good brand. And some guy went in, and you got to watch the video because he's like, hey, what's this gun oil? And he looks at it and reads it, and it's actually lube.
He's obviously not
a
Marine.
And the people at Walmart make the mistake of putting it on the wrong shelf.
This is my weapon. This is my gun. This is for fighting. This is for fun. That's exactly. The whole thing. They should know the difference between weapons and guns.
I know, right? They don't. Exactly. So that was funny, too. But
all right, questions.
Okay, questions.
For the parents. You know what? She's so forthcoming. Emily is so great. And we know so much about her because she's not really ashamed or embarrassed about anything. So I don't really have any questions for
okay.
you.
Okay.
I feel like I know so much.
Yeah, I mean, I can ask you a question that I just, because I know everybody asks me, it's like, what do your parents think of what you do? I get asked that every day. That and our guys intimidated to date you. But this is the, everyone, what do your parents think?
Well,
it's okay.
I admire what you do because I think that you do a really good job. Sometimes it's hard to read some of your
emails
because I sort of cringe a little bit. But on the other hand, I just sort of, that's who you are. I mean, you're creative and you think outside the box and it's all good.
Ed, are you comfortable with it? Ed's been my stepdad for 30 years. He's like my dad.
I am pretty much. Every now and then, I'll say, Sue, look what Emily has to say.
They get my email blasts.
It's so sweet that they read them.
Ed reads them, my mom doesn't.
Perhaps we're not being adventurous enough, but we've been together a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ed was sitting in we were at dinner the other night. They're in L.A. now, and Ed says, well, we read your email. We're thinking of spicing things up in the bedroom. Wow. As we suggested, he was joking. It was cute.
I don't know.
We didn't go beyond that, but it was nice.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Sure.
How many times, to be honest, how many times have you lied about what Emily does when talking to acquaintances?
Never. I never lie. Ever, ever.
Mom, you've said she talks about relationships.
Mm. Well, but that's not a lie.
She skips the sex part.
I sometimes do. I'm a financial planner and work with a lot of senior citizens. Uh-huh. So, but you do talk about relationships. That's not a lie. So,
but she's not like sexfamily.com.
She's like that Robert Durst guy where she doesn't tell the whole truth. She doesn't lie.
Right.
She just doesn't tell everything.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
Yeah. She talks into a microphone and writes stuff.
I think I always say that you guys are private because it was really touch and go for a while when I wasn't making a living. I couldn't figure. I just was the artist doing a podcast that had a lot of downloads, but I couldn't pay my rent.
Correct.
And that was a scary time. And my mom for years was like, what's your plan B? And I was like, oh, I can't stop. I love that. I found my passion.
So, you gotta love that. You'd be living on the streets and talking into a microphone at night if you had.
Exactly.
To.
Yeah. I was almost living on the streets.
I love that passion about you. I do.
Thank you. So some other questions that some people had some questions though, that they sent in, and that I said that you were gonna be on the show. And they wanna know if you ever gave me the talk. But I don't remember having the talk.
I don't remember ever really giving you the talk.
I know. It's a problem.
But I would have. And I'm sorry if I didn't.
It's okay. No, I was fine. I figured it out last year.
She did figure it out very late in life. Were you worried that maybe she
had
an asexual daughter?
No, I was never worried that she was never gave off vibes that she would be asexual.
Because that's how she paints herself. She paints herself as like this very unsexual person all
through
high
school. I never knew about. No, I had sex. I had sex when I was like 17, but I never knew about masturbation. Never occurred to me. You know, a lot of women, they just, you know, that's what you figure it out.
Right.
And so I guess, you know, and that's why I think it should be talked about in schools, because you probably assumed that I would figure it out. I bought the wand. I thought it was
sign of good parenting, too, because you're not like looking for ways to self-soothe. You know, like kids with traumatic childhoods from like bad parenting, like they're masturbating all the time.
Yeah, but a lot of kids from good, they just think, oh, I wonder what's going on down there.
Yeah, a lot of time it's self-soothing, though. You know, okay. It's trauma-induced. Trying to make your parents look even better than they are.
But you know what? The best thing, Mom, is what I do remember. People always say, so I never, and I've talked about this in the show, how like I was a late bloomer. Like I really, like I started having sex and I was like, what's all the hype about? Like when I was 17, lost Kurt, my high school boyfriend.
Right, I remember that.
Sure, he appreciates this.
He was he's my friend on Facebook. Mm-hmm. He was a football player in high school. And I just remember thinking, what the hell's all the hype about? And then I got to college and you remember all my friends, Mary, right. Everyone was like, they were talking about orgasms. And I was like, what? What is this? And then you all kind of were like helping me. And
right,
I
went out and bought a book.
Yeah, you bought me a book, which I still have.
Hoping that was a family project?
Well, because they were like, what? You
Let's
never,
get
what?
Emma.
No, my mom
By
was
Passover,
on board.
You must
no, we were
orgasm.
On board. We went out for dinner with our friends, and it was the topic of conversation. Holy How can we help Emily?
Yeah. And you bought me that book, Lonnie Barback, for herself, which is still a great book.
Right.
And then finally you were like, just chill out. You're like, do you ever like smoke pot? Maybe you should smoke a joint before you do that. And not even like my mom smokes pot. She was like, maybe you should just chill out. And that was the only sex advice I think you ever gave me. Which actually, it's true. It does kind of work sometimes.
That sounds like my advice, Susan. I use that kind of advice all the time. On this show.
You do, too.
I'd say people should have a few drinks. Yeah, put a little cocaine on their penis.
Not that. Anyway, it was funny. So what did you think? And someone else says, what do you think of my dating habits? As a teenager, for example.
You went with Kurt, and then you went with Mark.
Right.
And he was nice. You always pick nice guys. And 2.5 years was about your limit.
Still is.
Yep.
A lot less than that, though.
2.5 years over and out.
Yep, I was always out.
Found the fatal flaw.
There was always a fatal flaw.
Always. And I think that was probably true.
But Ed, you saw the fatal flaws too, right?
Yes, I did. And the guys that you knew that I met were really nice, but they did have a fatal flaw.
What were some of the flaws?
Too much alcohol.
I did the Irish Catholic alcoholic thing for a while.
Mm-hmm. Control.
And control.
Heavy control.
Just that one. My mom pulled me aside. I had this boyfriend. I thought it was good because I'm really I'm not a great organizer. I'm not a great packer. And I love that he was like, laid out my packed for me and was like, you should bring these clothes and that clothes. And I thought it was great because I'm not organized. And then he came home with me to Michigan for a wedding. This is like in my late 20s. And my mom pulls me aside. We were at a restaurant and she'd go in the bathroom. She goes, listen, he's very controlling. My mom's not like an overbearing. She's do you remember this?
Right. Oh, I do. I did an intervention. Because,
what did you see?
Well, what happened was he said to us, like he thought this was funny. He said, Emily is my project.
Right.
I thought, oh, my God, red flag.
Why do you say that to parents, especially?
Well, because that tells you something.
I'm going to fix something that you
So
didn't...
I grabbed her in the bathroom. I said, he's got to go.
Yeah. You know, that just makes her like him more.
No,
for at least
I'm not like that. I'm ready
because
for the
Because I never say that. Yeah. Never. That's not like me.
You've actually never said that. That's a very memorable moment.
You still friends with him on Facebook?
Yeah, actually, yeah. I am.
Are
I just got a job, actually, in San Francisco,
funny enough,
yeah. I'm friends with all my ex-boyfriends.
Oh, look who's controlling who now, huh? You got him the job. Nice.
He's divorced, isn't he?
Yeah, he's divorced.
Shocking.
Who isn't, right? What about, do you remember like any fun prom high school dance stories people asked?
Well, I remember you going. I mean, I remember that red dress.
The sweater. The sweater.
What sweater, Ed?
You were in an accident. And this was before I moved from Chicago.
It's so a good story.
We got to the hospital, and
car accident.
And you weren't hurt badly, but you
were
in the hospital.
You weren't driving.
No, my friend Tricia was driving.
So we got there. Your mother said she's wearing my good sweater.
I was wearing.
And
that's the first
I
thing
said,
she said.
Don't say anything to her. You can't say anything
about
it. She's in the hospital.
It's coated with blood.
Yeah, I was fine though. And my mom, and no, but you did though. You couldn't hold back. You're like, that's my nice sweater.
For about 20 seconds, she didn't say anything. And then she couldn't let it go.
I'm in blood on a fucking gurney in the hospital. Right. And my mom's like, that's my sweater.
And
you
were wearing my diamond studs.
I know, I'm sorry. Mom, I was like 16.
The diamonds managed to survive though, yeah.
Everything survived. The
bloody
sweater
did not survive.
Sorry about that.
But first, I made sure she was okay.
Right.
And then she's like, oh, you're fine. You have a pulse. Why are you wearing my sweater?
Right, all right.
This is good.
That's true.
I forgot that story. Any other good stories?
I had forgotten that one.
Well, that was a really good one.
That is a great one. Oh, my God.
You ever, when you're in high school, ever have sex in the house?
Not with, my brother did all the time. You were saying the other night. I never, no, I don't think I ever did. I don't, not with you home.
I'm glad to hear that.
I mean, no, not with you home.
I used to date girls where, like, they'd do, like, stuff. We'd be in the back seat of her parents' car, and, like, she would like to try and do stuff with the parents in the front seat, like, we're on our way to dinner.
Oh,
I'm like, well, just stop it. It's horrifying.
No, I was
You weren't that girl.
No, okay. I was kind of a prude. I mean, I was a good girl.
Well, my kids were really respectful at home. They were. You guys, both of you.
Yeah. We were
the most successful professionals now. You did a good job. I met them both.
Ah, thank you.
Right. She met Michael was on the show. My brother
Very
Michael.
Different. Very different.
Very different.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
That happens all the time in families. Because the kid's got to find a niche. Like, she saw that niche was already covered.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
They're both really good and talented at what they do, and they're on opposite ends of the spectrum.
I do like the idea of you guys talking to somebody conservative in Detroit, where you live, and, you know, your contemporaries, and talking about your son and how he's a successful lawyer, and then you get to Emily and saying, well, she tells people how to orgasm.
Well, for years, my mom, like, you know, oh, Emily, she's our free spirit out in San Francisco.
She's always said, Emily's my free spirit.
Well, it sounds like Susan's a free spirit, too.
And she
smokes some weed so you can come.
Yeah. My mom is a free spirit. My mom's a very independent woman.
Yes.
And she's, Ed, too. You guys are a great couple. They've been together 30 years. Ed met with us 15.
Yep.
It's true.
It's good times.
The wolf child when you were 15. The wolf child.
Was that bad?
Yeah.
Like a feral child?
Well, sometimes.
What did I do? I was just...
No, when you got angry.
Oh, tell me more. I've never seen her angry.
It wasn't good when you were angry.
What did I do?
Well, it was difficult. You would come charging in.
So it would lock you out of the bedroom.
I'd lock you out of the bedroom.
Because I was screaming. What was I mad about?
Anything.
I was 15.
You would beat on the door and say, let me in.
You were a typical 15-year-old.
I didn't do anything really bad, though. No. I was
you
just
were
angry.
A good kid, actually. I mean, you had a little trouble studying.
That's studying, focusing.
You're focusing until you were 16, and then you decided school was important.
Right. I turned around because my parents, what happened was I didn't really care about school that much. And then in Michigan, you have to have a car, right? And I always worked. I started working when I was 14. I got a job after school.
Yeah.
And
doing what?
I worked at a clothing store. Hmm. What was my... Coats Unlimited.
Coats Unlimited and...
I remember that.
Yeah.
And Roz and Sherm.
Yeah, Roz and Sherm. It was this really fancy high-end women's clothing store.
You'd hook your mom up with a new sweater?
No.
But I got all dressed up really cute, and the first day I got there...
She called me crying. She says, I'm so cute. I look so cute, and they've got me doing stock in the back.
In the back room.
Welcome to the world.
I was like, why? So then I got bad grades, and I went to camp that summer, and I didn't turn in a library book, so my mom wouldn't get my report card. It's my sophomore year.
Wait, what's the connection there? You didn't turn
because
in...
you don't get the report, card, and I wouldn't know how badly she did, and she was going off to camp for the summer.
So I purposely didn't turn it because they won't give you, which is stupid. They won't
There's a loophole. That is really dumb. Like, if you break a rule, we won't send your parents grades on how you're doing.
Right.
I got the report card, and it was an 8-week camp up in Canada.
Uh-huh.
And Ed and I are driving up there, and he said, "You can't say anything to Emily about her bad report card." And I waited about an hour.
It was like the sweater.
It was sort of like the sweater. I couldn't help it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You made sure she had a pulse and she was doing okay at camp.
Well, it was real. I really wanted her to get good grades because I had bribed her. I said, if you get good grades, I'll buy you a car.
No,
but
right.
I really wanted her to have the car so I could work and not have to worry about being home.
Right. But what I was saying is I paid for half the car. I remember the first car. And so But you said you wouldn't, because that was always our deal, that I'd pay for half and you pay for half, and you said we won't do that. So that's all I needed to hear.
That's funny.
Because when you turn 16 in Michigan, you have to get
a car.
You
have to, yeah.
And I got this little Pontiac, so it was not.
Motor City.
Yeah.
But you know what's funny, though?
What?
Your cardinal rule on your show is, like, never bribe anyone for sex. Your mom was bribing you for
grades. Well, because I was like, I cannot. So then I all of a sudden got all A's. I was like, and then I got obsessed with school and studying. So thanks for turning me around there.
You're welcome. Nothing to it.
On a track, and she's like,
no, really, I got obsessed. It was like,
no,
I do
these 180s. Once she made up her mind,
yeah,
she did great.
I got all A's, went to college, graduated with honors. Like, but before that, I could give a crap.
Thank God you didn't learn the orgasm until later, because I doubt you would have been able to do so well.
I would have been distracted.
Yes.
Exactly. Okay, good times.
See, it's all good.
Yeah.
Thank God, Mom, someone, it all worked out.
Someone stole that back massager.
I wish Michael was awake. I want to know. It was gone. I'm just saying.
Wait,
it was gone.
You know how different your life could have been?
Because
you might have stumbled across it by mistake.
No, I really just thought, I'm like, cool, I love massage. I was 13.
I know, but you might have stumbled. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Like, literally. Like, stumbled
like,
onto it.
Right.
And then learned about it earlier and then fucked up in school. And you went.
Right, exactly.
Thank God someone stole it.
Thank God. Okay.
Alter the course of your life.
I'm actually going to have you guys help me answer some questions from the people.
Okay.
Okay, so I want to thank everyone for emailing me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. And everyone's been so great because they're actually, I want you to tell me where you're from, where you live, how old you are, and how you listen to the show. And people have been great about that. Oh, but first, before I get to questions, I've got something to say. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about the Sibian, okay? Pay attention. I've been throwing out a few mentions here and there about how I received a Sibian because we were just getting to know each other. I wasn't really getting into the details of it with my audience, but I'm ready to spill the beans. This will change your sex life. You may think you know all about the Sibian, but forget what you've heard because it's so different from any other sex product you've seen before. In fact, it's much more than a sex toy. I'm so excited for you guys to see this tomorrow. The Sibian is a full-on sexual experience, one that you can enjoy solo or with a partner. For one thing, it's the only sex product with a unique mountable design that simulates the feeling of being with a partner with woman on top position. My stepdad just looking at me. And the cool thing about the Sibian is that each woman has the power to customize her experience every time she uses it and makes it work for her. It has 11 different attachments. You've got ones that look, they're like dildo attachments, like a penis or a finger-shaped one or clitoral ones. You get stimulation all over. And this is all to provide you with a variety of orgasms. You know, you choose different ones, different orgasms, and there's no limit on this to the way that you can experience a Sibian because every time it's different and every machine is as unique as the woman who's using it. So a lot of women have trouble reaching orgasm during intercourse. I was one of them, I've admitted. And I know there's a lot of you out there as well. So Sibian could be the secret to unlocking your orgasmic potential. Because they say, well, I know this. I've actually done a ton of research, and it's amazing when you read their testimonies on their site. If you do repeated rides in the Sibian, you can actually train your body to orgasm, making it easier to experience multiple orgasms and increase sexual response with the partner. So if you're on it and you learn it, then you can move that same way with your partner and then have an orgasm. And because of the unique design of the Sibian, once you learn how to orgasm with it, you transfer that to your partner. The way you move, all that stuff. Sound fun, Mom? Oh, and if I mentioned how hot it will be for your partner to watch you on it. So here's a testimonial from a Sibian person, user. She had her first orgasm ever. My husband and I have been married for 17 years, and I always thought our sex life was okay, but I didn't get too excited about it. My first time in the Sibian, I can hardly describe the feeling I had. My body just exploded. It was just unreal what happened to me. I soon realized at the age of 38 with the Sibian, I had my first orgasm ever. I now started having orgasms while making love to my husband, and I have Sibian to thank. She's from Texas.
Wow.
Okay, Ed's from Texas. To hear what other people have to say, the customers, just check it out. You guys have to go to Sibian.com. Seriously, just read about it. You got to get to know it. And as a special treat for my listeners, you get $75 off your first order with code Emily75. That's Emily75 at Sibian.com. Sibian.com. Okay, back to the emails. That wasn't too uncomfortable.
It's like a mechanical bull almost, right?
Yeah, but it's not that heavy. I mean, I brought it in the office today because we did a little photo shoot with it.
Yeah, you got to take a picture. Not anything exploitative, but you got to take a picture.
It's on the website. Oh, and if you want to win one, this is a major giveaway. We just posted the blog, and you'll see a picture of it. We wrote how to do it. It's a really fun contest because naming it. Remember last week you said, did you name it?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, no. And then a bunch of people were like, you name it. I'm like, I need to name it.
Yeah.
It's like my mascot.
So that's the contest now.
Yeah.
I like
check it out.
You need to take a picture of your parents, like discovering it. Not discovering it, but like looking at it. You know what I mean?
Well, we are going to take a picture
Instagram
of the studio. Okay. Stanley, right. I have
Put Stanley on top of the sibian.
Stanley.
And have your parents look at
him. I love Stanley, but there's...
He sheds a lot, man.
I know.
I told you.
But I hug him so much. Yeah. His dog on my lap. Okay. Emails. Thank you for emailing me. feedback@sexwithemily.com. Hey, Emily. I'm a recent listener, but I love your podcast already. I've been dating this girl for about a month, and we're really hitting it off. She just recently got out of a serious relationship, and I just recently broke up with a long-term ex. We're taking it slow, but I could already see it getting serious. My question to you is now... sometimes she'll be all over me and other times a little more reserved. What's the best way to read someone like that? I really like her and don't want to be too pushy. Any advice would help. Thanks, Sean. So he's with someone. How long have they been together? A month? But she's hot and cold already. But they've only been together a month. I think he's kind of overthinking it. There's not a lot of options here because they just started dating and you're taking it slow. You really can't expect a lot from a relationship. And you're both getting out of a relationship, so maybe he's overthinking it. What do you guys think?
I think he's overthinking it. A month, you hardly get to. After a month with your mother, I didn't even know her last name. So it's true.
Oh, no.
It's true. I didn't know how to spell it. I knew
right.
It was...
Morris. People get it confused. Exactly. I'm always like the code, not like the cat.
So
right.
the key is to give it a little time.
He's
a few months,
out.
I think.
Yeah. Right, it's new. Like, and people are hot and cold at the beginning sometimes. Cause
right.
They,
right.
Yeah, you agree,
Mom? And if she just got out of a relationship, she's got issues. Who doesn't?
Right, and he did too.
Right.
Or maybe she's still healing, so it's actually better if you just go slow. And the relationships that we, you know, if you start a relationship hot and heavy, the ones that go boom and you go on fire.
It burns out.
It's like right? A song. That when you first hear a song that you really like, it's like, oh, this is a great song. And then you get sick of it real fast.
Exactly.
When I met Ed, it was so good because he lived in Chicago.
Yeah.
Right? Long distance. I like that.
My wife lived in San Francisco. I live down here. Like, I'd go up and see her every 3 weeks, but it was like, you know, distance makes the heart.
Right.
It's true.
It really does.
Yeah, so you guys didn't have to, you saw each other once every 2 weeks or something?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, for two years before
right.
I moved to Detroit.
I think that's a good deal.
I do, too, because you can't burn out.
Exactly. Right. I think, I wish that, well, that's why I used to do long distance relationships. I actually preferred them for a while. That's part
see
of my
that.
Phase.
I could see that. Hey, this guy also, I think he might want to look into the possibility that he's a codependent a little bit, maybe.
Really? Because
you
want
to read into that a little bit.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's bouncing from one relationship to the next and making this one like really important. Like he's trying to fill that hole.
You're right.
You know?
And we often do that.
Yeah.
We often tend to like try to heal our past
a
relationships and our current.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that you should both take it slow. And I actually think you should be dating other people too right now. You should be diversifying.
Play in that field. Like Ed
field.
Probably was when he first met Susan. Can
were you
remember
at?
Her name?
Never.
No, we never did. Actually, we never
sowed
did.
A lot of oats before we met each
right.
other.
Yeah.
And so when we met, we celebrated the day we met as our anniversary for 10 years until we finally got married.
They waited 10 years to get married.
That is so sweet.
Yeah, I know. It was really sweet.
I waited like 7, maybe
you did?
8.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's good. You guys.
Yeah. Oh, it was fine.
I used to tell Sue that I made a much better boyfriend than husband because I'd been married before.
Right.
But that wasn't true.
He was afraid that like the marriage would ruin the relationship.
Right.
You guys are both afraid of that.
That was a concern. But we had friends who told us that it changes the relationship. So it's kind of hard to explain why. We had a friend who used to refer to his wife, Ida, who we both knew really well. And instead of saying Ida, he'd say my wife. And so we used to say, why doesn't he just say Ida? We know who she is.
Right.
But then after we got married, we did the same thing. I say my wife this, my wife that. And everybody knows it's Susan.
Right.
But I don't say that. I say
my
wife.
I don't hear
wife.
You say that. Well, I guess you're talking to me. You say your mom.
Why is that?
Yeah, I do. You know what? I'm not sure. We had a friend years ago who told us it just takes the relationship to a different place.
Go ahead.
I do a couple different shows. One show I'm a real jerk on. It's a film show called The Film Vault, and my co-host has brain cancer, and I'm really mean to him because he's bad at knowing good movies, right? But it's a shtick we have going back and forth. But since he has brain cancer, he's always considered the victim, and I'm the mean guy. And I never want to associate my wife with me, so I call her the wife on that show. But then on my other show, where like, I'm a nice guy, I call her by her name, and I say, it's Jillian, my wife. But I just don't want to associate her with me because I'm such a horrible dick on that other show.
And what are you like on this show?
This show, I'm just like your brother.
I'm like my brother.
A good back and forth guy. With
He's
you.
Like a nice brother, though.
Yeah.
I mean, my brother's nice. I'm just kidding.
I'm just like me on this show. I'm not trying to be anything.
I know.
You know,
just
on the
be
film
you.
Vault,
that's
I
what
try
we're all about.
Dick.
We're all just being ourselves on
right.
this show. We're real. You
the
know?
Wife, Susan, the wife.
Susan, the wife.
Yeah.
Susan, the wife. You guys are really cute. Okay, I love you guys. Okay, another email.
They're awesome.
I know, right?
Can they watch my dog?
They're going back to you. Don't you really don't trust me?
No,
look,
I do.
I do. I've got hair.
You're
coming
complaining
out of
about the hair 20 minutes in. No,
she's great with the dog. She really is.
I'm obsessed.
I know. I'm kidding.
It's going to be amazing. Okay, we're going to have the best time together. Maybe we'll go to Disney World or something. What?
I'm looking forward to the Instagram pictures.
Don't worry. We're going to put them in a fleshlight video in the office.
Just keep it off a snout, please.
I will. I promise. Okay. Okay, this is about a lackluster relationship.
And his penis. Keep it off his penis, please.
Oh, little baby. Don't. Dear Emily, I just want to say I'm a huge fan of your show. I found it a couple months ago, and I'm hooked. I love how open you are about sex. I think Menace and Anderson add an interesting and comical perspective to the show.
Aw. Yeah. Who's Menace?
My name is also Emily. I'm a 24-year-old college student studying environmental science. I live in eastern Pennsylvania with my boyfriend of little over a year. When our relationship first started, he couldn't keep his hands off me. I understand over time this changes, but it's like he doesn't even want it anymore at all. I always have to initiate sex, and then I'm always on top. He doesn't reject sex from me ever, and when we do have sex, he's just always on the bottom. The lack of interest is beginning to severely impact my once great self-esteem. I thought we might be spending too much time together, as we just spent the last several months hiking long distance and confined to woods in a tent, then came home and started living together. So we spend less time together, and it's just not fixing things. About a month ago, I came to him about this, nearly crying, and explained that I love him and I love having sex with him, but I feel so undesired. He said he'd fix things, and I haven't seen a change in anything. I've tried buying toys, lube, spicing things up. I bought a butt plug and lube, and I love both so much. And he... My son does that.
How is a butt plug going to like make him say, all right, let's do it?
Dude, you never know.
You have a butt plug in there right now, honey? Oh.
And he enjoys them too, but I'm tired of always having to initiate everything. I'm beginning to feel pretty terrible about myself. He still masturbates. I'm kind of left wondering what's wrong with me that he doesn't want me. Please help me. Hmm. Signed, Emily.
How old is she?
She's 24.
24.
Yeah.
Too young for this, bro.
Well, that's the thing. You're too young, but I understand why you're feeling that way. It's really hard when he doesn't feel reciprocated.
No, that would be horrible.
Right? To not feel desired. It's really hard on the self-esteem.
Right, right.
I hear this from a lot of women and men. It goes both ways.
I think it's running rampant right now, too.
What?
More so than in years past because of the readily available porn on the... Guys are always going to want the variety, you know what I mean? And just because they have... He's probably very attracted to her, but he's still got... Especially if he's young, he still wants that variety. He's probably not out cheating on her, but he still would maybe rather masturbate than have sex with her.
It's a lot easier. It's
a lot more variety, and it's easier, and it might fulfill his fantasies, but she sounds pretty freaky with the butt plug.
I know. I like her. I mean, I like this. So, I mean, sex is so important in a relationship, and if you're already not connecting... I understand you need the physical, you need the emotional connection, and then when one person is giving that attention and initiating all the time, the other one's going to start to resent
it. It becomes
the
power dynamic, too.
It does.
And she's got to be careful not to seem needy. It's a slippery slope. She's got to be really careful here.
I know. And he's always down for it, but then, you know, as a woman especially, like, you just want to feel desired. You want to feel, like, she's like, what's wrong with me? And he's not trying any new positions. But you guys are both still young, but it happens in relationships all the time. So I think she's doing everything right. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, she sounds young. They're both young. So I don't know. Maybe it's just not a great relationship.
I think it's over.
I mean, what do you think, Ed?
I think
it's over. To have that kind of problem with that age. You know, you usually hear that from guys older, my age.
Right.
But
fatal flaw.
Yeah,
that is definitely a fatal flaw.
It is a fatal flaw. So, I mean, everything I would recommend, like, she's already done. And so I think this is his issue. And she's not going to force him to change. And you've already talked to him about it. I won't say dump him tomorrow. I'm saying you could, like, let him know that it's gotten to that point. Tell him, use feeling words, not like, don't attack him for things like, you never initiate and you never. My mom's like, those are her words. But say, you know, I really feel like it would mean a lot to me if you initiated it, and I want to feel desired, and it's important to me. And you, she already said she didn't see a change, but if you still do that, I mean, I just think that, you know, it might be time to call it quits, because when the sex is not there and you're feeling frustrated and you're trying to work on it, it won't last.
At least approach him about it.
Approach him again. I'm not saying having
a breakup, and don't make it all about this necessarily. I'm sure there's other things that the guy does. That,
right.
But I mean, Emily.
Yes.
Listener,
me, Emily, not her.
Email Emily. These years, like 24, like, they're valuable sexual years. And like every day that goes by, that's a wasted sexual day. That's
true.
You know, that's like worth like 2 weeks worth when you're like 45.
I know.
Right?
It's true. No, absolutely. And they're
living
together.
And every day that she's not having sex with this guy. It's just wasted butt plugs and
exactly.
sexual.
Exactly. She's got a butt plug, and he's like, get on top. I'm just going to sit here.
These days are going to be gone before you know it. So
I know.
I'm going to make the most of it.
And now, another thing is, though, he could be depressed. He could be, you know, when guys are
stressed,
they're anxious about money.
Busy.
No, but a lot of times that's
no,
actually
I'm
affects
telling.
Men's libido more than anything.
The last 6 months, you know, I'm not getting personal, but, you know, it's the wife and I haven't as nearly as much as we used to because I've been so busy
you.
And she's been so busy. Yeah.
Right.
So,
right. Interesting.
Nothing against her. I mean,
so that's another thing, Emily, to look at is this just happened? Like, you guys have been together, how long did you say? A few years?
About a year.
About a year. So did something market happen in his life? Did he lose a job? Is he worried about money? I mean, it could be circumstantial, but. You know, I would still keep trying to talk to him about it because a lot of times people say, oh, we talked about it and it's one time. And you know, in relationships.
Right. And how did you talk about it?
And I bet right. it came up like right before she had her period and she was like very, you know, feeling vulnerable.
That happens right. sometimes. Right?
How does she know he masturbates? How does she know that?
Well, we all know.
How does she know?
Because he probably looks at his browser. Or he tells
oh,
her.
Oh, guys are sad.
You know, another thing is, speaking of sheets earlier, guys don't clean their goddamn sheets.
But you can
oh,
you can return
disgusting.
Those sheets.
Mom, when my 20s, like at least guys now I date, like they know good sheets, but really it's a turnoff. And they don't, like gross sheets, and then they don't change
That's
them.
Disgusting.
Sorry, Mom.
Your sheets are going to be filthy with Stanley sleeping in there.
I don't mind. I'm like a Stan hair all over me. I'm not complaining at
You're
all.
Poor maids.
I want to talk to you guys though, Mom and Ed.
Oh.
Okay.
What?
You know all the okay, real quick, and we'll
okay,
get back.
Go,
to it. You
go.
Know all like the back and forth we were doing with the housekeeper earlier today.
Yeah,
the housekeeper's coming, and she doesn't know what to do
right.
with Stanley because the housekeeper's going to be there. She, Emily, your daughter, was telling a story a couple weeks ago that she had sex while her housekeeper was in the house, right, with the door closed in the back. Am I saying too much? Here's what's worse. She remembered that her sex toys were left out on the kitchen counter because she was washing them, and the poor maid is out there.
No, they were on the drain board. She didn't have to.
What kind of a woman did she raise?
I forgot she was
learning new things.
Anything
yeah, you
else?
Know where you like can put the dishes up so they can dry? Like on the, she had her like dildos and whatnot.
I wasn't having her wash.
I was impressed that she was washing.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I thought that was good. That's mm-hmm. growth.
Thank
that's
you. I'm sure now. I don't cook yet, but I'm all grown up. I wanted to ask you guys, though, if you don't mind. 30 years together. And
yes.
You don't have to talk about your sex life if you don't want. But you guys really, truly are adorable and happy together. And you love spending time together. And I'm just wondering, what are some of your secrets? Or what do you think works for you?
Well, I think we like doing a lot of the same things. But we also we're both really busy and have really full lives. And so we're not home together all of the time, and that makes it interesting. And
we have time apart.
We have time apart, and we sometimes take separate vacations.
How many times a year? Yeah, they do
a lot.
Well,
not vacations.
Well, Ed goes to Texas to visit his family.
Does he get a hall pass when he gets to?
No.
No? No hall pass?
No.
No. Not like, no. Okay. We don't care.
Yeah, we've always had fun together. And one of the first things Sue said after we'd been together a few months, she was telling someone that I was the first guy that she had ever enjoyed spending time with as much as her girlfriend.
Oh, that's a big sign.
So it
yeah,
was
that was good.
That's really good.
That
what
was
about
really
you, Mom?
Good.
What about you, Ed? What was different about my mom?
She was independent. And I had I'd had relationships before where women that were really nice women that I thought were completely independent. But after a while, they became needy.
Huh. Needy and clingy.
And clingy. And your mom never did that.
Oh, she's the least
neediest. You know, 30 years later, she's still
least
not.
She's the needy, least
so,
clingiest person I've ever met.
Exactly.
She's an independent spirit, too.
So, and I really, I'm independent, too.
Right, you are, too, of course.
It really works for us. I go to Texas to visit my family, or she'll go with the girlfriends up north for a weekend or to Florida for a few days,
yeah.
whatever. And, you know, for the first 2 days, I get to flip channels and watch TV till 1 o'clock in the morning, whatever. But then when she comes home, it's really great to be back.
Because you miss her.
Yeah, I miss her.
I think that's really important. See, I always tell couples that, too. They never take time apart.
I know.
And I think that's crucial. It's like I was saying earlier, joking about the long-distance relationship, but it is true that you need your space to come back together again, because so many couples also for their sex lives as well. If you never have that separation, because the thing that makes sex so great in the beginning of relationships is when you have that distance and that unknown and that
right.
uncertainty, and you don't know when you're going to see each other and everything's new and exciting. But if you are living together 24/7 and you never take vacations apart and you never How do you keep that interesting?
It's hard. I mean, it works for us.
How about your friends? They do that? Do they travel separately?
Some do, some don't. It's not, you know.
Not so many.
Not so much.
Most of the people that in our groups at home do not.
No, you guys are a good couple.
I'm hearing that you guys are like totally secure with each other too, which is, I did That's not get huge. To experience that at all growing up. My parents, my dad in particular, like he was so jealous of my mom would have to lie about going out to see a girlfriend of hers. She'd have to lie and say she's going to work. That's what I grew up with in my crazy house. Yeah,
Ed's just jealous because he's not included with the girlfriends.
I can see that. Yeah. I get you there, Ed. I feel you. It's fun going out with just the girls and being one of the girls sometimes. I love
really
that.
Is. Yeah. It really is. Ed would love to be invited, but he's not.
One day, Ed. It's not to strive for.
Not so much. I try, but I've always enjoyed being around women. There are a lot of strong women in my family. Mm-hmm. My mother, my grandmother, some of my aunts. I had an aunt that was, she was a deputy sheriff in Arkansas back in the 30s,
that says
the 1930s.
Wow.
And her sister ran a roadhouse between Dallas and a little town south of there called Waxahachie. So always had strong women. And everyone in my family, my son, my cousins, they all really appreciate strong women. Mm-hmm. And so strong, independent women have always appealed to me. Yeah. And I finally found one just right.
Mm. A lot of guys are not into that. You know, I understand that, you know, I'm in.
When I was dating, and you know, I went on a few dates, and a guy would say, well, what do you do? And I would tell him, and I'd say, and they said, do you like it? Oh, I love it. And you'd practically watch them run away.
Because
wasn't needy, and I wasn't, and they didn't like that. They found that independence threatening.
And also, I can tell you from my own personal experience, like when you're insecure and you need somebody, you need to be somebody's everything, especially as a young man, like that's not appealing. It's like, oh, you don't need me? Like every girl that I dated until my wife, pretty much, like I was their everything. And like that's what I needed. I thought that that's what I needed. My wife is very much like you and like Emily, very, very independent. You know, she loves me a lot, but I could go away for a couple of days. She'll miss me, but she'll survive. She's not going to, you know what I mean? Once you get past that insecurity level.
Yeah. I guess I've always been independent. I mean, I don't think about that now, but I am independent with guys. I wonder if maybe dating guys now, but that's a turnoff. Someone was telling me that they're like a lawyer, a really high powered lawyer, and she's like, I can't tell guys. I don't tell them because they get threatened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, they do.
Huh. Never thought of that. We're going to lie. We're going to hide what I do. I have a host of other issues. Just sex. Just saying that I have a sex talk show. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
Just say relationship like your mom says.
Exactly. That's so funny. Do we have time for one more?
One more.
Okay. Hey, Emily. I'm a new listener to the Sex Only podcast, so I'm catching up. However, I did listen to the Friend Zone podcast you did, and this is where I need your help. I'm 29 years old. I haven't been so lucky with the ladies, whether a casual hookup, unless there was alcohol involved, or dating. So I'm talking to a friend, and we go back and forth, and we vent about our single lives and try to help each other with relationship advice. Meanwhile, I ask her, throw out hints that I want to take her on a date. And she just keeps on giving excuses, and her ex pretty much destroyed who she was, this and that, which I get because he's a big-time douchebag. Now, my question to you is, what can I tell her she finally gives me a shot and goes on a date with me? Thank you, AJ from NJ, New Jersey. The friend zone. You know what that is, you guys?
I'm learning.
Okay. So a friend zone, it's kind of this term that we use when we say, like, you know, a lot of, well, women and men can be friend zone, but a lot of guys get themselves, they get friend zoned because they meet a woman. Girl that they're into, and they're like, oh, I'll do all these nice things for her. I'll, you know, I'll fix her tire if she gets, you know, get a flat tire. I'll talk to her about her woes. And they do all this like stuff that's like a friend like, or they do boyfriend like stuff without even being her boyfriend. And the girl's like, oh, well, he's my friend, or he's, you know,
right.
And then the girl just thinks you're my friend, but they put her in that zone because he doesn't make it known that he's interested. So guys get in the friend zone. And sometimes once you're in the friend zone, you can never get out.
It's hard to get out.
Exactly. So I want to know, AJ, do you think that this friend wants to become something more? I'm wondering, but a lot of times guys can't tell. They just assume, like, they have a hard time reading. So have you ever had that, like, from women? Did you ever hear, like, after the fact that a woman was into you and you didn't know?
Yes,
you know,
I have, actually.
Yeah, so a lot of times guys can't read it. So it sounds like you guys have a good platonic friendship, and from her responses, it sounds like that might be what she's looking for. But Most girls, if they go out with someone, they will pick up cues.
I think girls are smarter than guys, and they know. And they kind of like having a little like male harem of friend zone guys, knowing that also like, hey, if I ever fall on hard times, this guy's always going
to
be here.
That is true, though. But and she sits and talks to him about her ex, and I've actually had guy friends. I guess it never turned into relationships, but maybe I slept with them once by mistake. Like I slipped and fell on their penis.
And that's another thing is they're hoping that they find an Emily who will, by mistake, have sex with them once, and they'll take that like crumb. Any crumbs they'll get.
Yeah, that's true.
They get desperate.
I mean, and also, AJ, here's the thing: even if she does like whip you over to the boyfriend zone, she's going through something right now. She's going through a breakup. This guy was a douchebag. I don't think that she's ready to get into a relationship right now. And so even if she was with you, you might end up getting hurt anyway. And so I just think that, you know, she's made up her mind. I'm not sure that you can change it. I mean, I would still like you to be her friend. But here's the thing. If you can still be your friend, then I keep moving with the friendship. But if your feelings for her are so strong, I also think you've nothing to lose. And you can just say to her, you know what? I'm interested. Like, hey.
There is something to lose, though, Em.
What, a friend?
The relationship, the friend.
But now let me tell you this.
I've been friends with a girl for like 6 months, and then we became a couple, and we were really, really good together for a long time until she left me for my old best friend. But we were, and I appreciated the relationship so much that even if she said I'm not interested in you romantically, I would still like to be that girl's friend. But that's just me. Maybe that's just
right.
Me.
Well, wait, say, yeah, right, exactly.
I was with her for like, you know, just friends for 6 months, and then we became a couple.
And then you became back to friends?
Kind of.
No, you couldn't. Okay.
No, my wife wouldn't like that if I was friends with her.
No, I got it. But here's the thing is that either he can handle it or he can't. What I'm saying is if you can't handle it, what you got to do is that if you're like, you know what? It's fine. I'm just going to, in the future, when I meet women, I'm going to let them know right away that I'm interested. But with her, if she's really a good friend, hey, you're single girls. I mean, she's got probably a lot of cute friends. Mm-hmm. You guys can go out as friends. They make great matchmakers. You know, you might meet some of her friends. So just like go out with the groups and hang out with her. And you never, that's the best way to meet someone new is through friends. So
and I can tell you going to like a bar with a good looking friend that's a girl. I mean, you're going to, and then other girls will come over and they'll be less intimidated by you because you're with a girl. And then you find out that you're not together. And I met a lot of girls by going to bars with a girl.
Exactly. Say, it's the best thing ever to go out, when I go with my
guy
friends.
So there is something to lose here a little bit. You know?
Okay, but all I'm saying is if he can't handle it and he's like, oh my God, I love her so much. If he's at the point where he like loves her and so he thinks about that, he's got to just let her know. But if he can be like, you know what? I'm going to join her in the friend zone.
Yeah.
So that's what I got to say, AJ. Thank you so much. And thank you, Anderson.
I'm sad that the show's over. I want to go for like another hour.
I know, me too. But we can't. We got something
to
do.
Damn time restraint.
Thank you, Mom, and thank you, Ed, so much. I love you guys.
It was fun.
It's been such fun.
I know, right? Good times.
You guys really
thank
are
you.
Great.
I know.
You really
how
are
cute
great.
Are they? I want to take a picture. We'll put it on the
you
website.
You guys remind me of what I hope that my wife and I are like in just a few short years.
You will be. Okay, thank you, Madison. Thank you, Lori and Alyssa and intern Jamie. You guys rock. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Okay, everybody, I need to talk to you about your penis for a second before we close up. Did you know that 1 in 3 men suffer from premature ejaculation or they just want to last a little bit longer in bed? Well, Promescent can help you last longer. It's not even about, you know, women, there's an orgasm gap. Here's the point. Women can take 20 to 40 minutes, men sometimes like 4 to 7. If you want to last longer, Promescent will help you last longer in bed. So check it out. It's promescent.com. Another thing I got to talk to you about is Down Under Comfort. Mom and Ed, you guys have tried my Down Under Comfort. Emily and Tony, it's amazing. If you're a baby powder guy and you use baby powder, it's all messy, gets all over the place, this actually will keep your down unders, your balls, your, you know, for women, your breasts, your back, sweat free. And it's a cream to a powder formula. It's vegan, fresh, dry, smells amazing. People love it. They freak out about it. I got a tweet from someone. He said, it changed my life. My balls don't stick to my thighs anymore. Thank you so much. So check it out. And someone else said, Down Under Comfort is a godsend. I love you all. Go to emilyandtony.com. Check it out. Use code Emily for 20% off. Thanks for listening. Love you.